You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Hemlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Yeah.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 66 of The Training Dummies, recorded on April 30th, 2014. My name is Daryl, but you can also call me Hend, a resto shaman with a destruction warlock co-main, who might be just a little bit PvP curious. With me, as always, is Rob, also known as Holloway, who might also be doing the PvP. And with us tonight is one of our fellow members from Catalyst Gaming Media, to talk to us about Hunters. It's Quarry, or more commonly known as Captain Snarky McSnark Snark. Did I get that right?
I'm a little snarky from time to time.
That's well, snark.
Glad to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So we, right before we started, you said, just call you Q.
Yeah, you can just call me Q.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to think about Star Trek The Next Generation the whole time if I'm calling you Q.
Hey, omnipotent powers, I'm with that.
You should have put that picture up on the stream.
Ah, serious. Talk about Snarky McSnark Snark, man, that guy.
I do not look like John Delancey, though.
Thanks for joining us. I think some of the good thing about finally doing this is we've had, this is probably one of our most requested class specific episodes, I guess. Would you
I
say?
Think so. And, yeah, we had someone recently. Invite us on their podcast so they could ask us specifically for a Hunter episode.
So yeah,
and you had me fill those shoes. That's just setting everybody up for failure.
Well, I mean, if you've heard the show, you know that we bring the derp to the table an awful lot, or I do at least. So,
oh, you can't say that, you're marginalizing people.
Yeah, I do what I can. Well, we'll do a little mini interview first here. We'll get started, and then we'll get into the Hunted Talk. I guess we don't have a clip, but whatever. So how, what, when, where did you start playing, and what would you say is your current main?
Hunter is my main. Hunter's always my main. I started playing Hunter right off the bat, right out of the gate for Vanilla when it launched. So it was in December 2004. I read through, I was reading through the manual that came with the game and reading, you know, the description of each classes. And as soon as I got to Hunter, I stopped and went, this is what I want to play. And I just haven't stopped since. One of the things that my guildmates kind of bust my chops over is I've got 22 Hunters total. And there are people that have more. I know Hunters in the Hunter community that have a lot more than me. And I don't have a ton of end game Hunters. I know people have multiple level 90 hunters across multiple servers.
Sounds like someone that's else like, I know like, with monks.
I was going to say, I'm kind of guilty.
And he's an only one expansion.
I played Alliance through Vanilla and BC. I switched to Horde, Wrath, and about halfway through Kata. And then halfway through Kata, I went back to Alliance and joined Falx, not on the Dalaran server. And I've been there since. So my two main hunters are, actually three main hunters are my Worgen. I have two Worgen hunters in Falx and Nod. And then my original Night Elf hunter is now a Dwarf hunter in the Warcraft Hunters Union over in Icecrown.
Awesome. Cool. So what, enthusiast. What is the origin of the name Quarry?
Good question, and people have asked me this because I think in Magic the Gathering there's a creature named Quarry, and I get people ask me, I think it's in Magic or Dungeons and Dragons, one or the other. But I get people ask me, oh, is that what you're a Magic fan or D&D fan? And I'm like, no. During college, I had a comic strip on an artist, and I had a comic strip about a fallen angel named Quarry. It was just the name I picked for him. I made it up, and that was like 95, 96. And I went and researched, when people asked me about the magic thing, I researched that creature, and that wasn't created until like 2005 or something like that. Hmm. So mine, I like wondered, should I like contact them about copyright infringement or something? I don't know.
Right?
maybe.
But it's a character. It's a character that I have, and I have images of him everywhere through all my sketchbooks and stuff.
Awesome. Very That's cool. Great, man. I love it when there's actually some backstory and some, like, you know, my names are usually ridiculous, and
I hit the name generator.
You know, like,
a couple tunes that have the name generator, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Mine are like, oh, something that was funny. Like, oh, this alliance monk that I'm doing right now, his name is Beardzilla. And I don't even know. I think that probably somebody, was it Hoofit? Maybe, I don't know. Somebody said something similar to that. So I was like, yes, it's an appropriate dwarf name.
Beardzilla.
Yeah.
That's beardism. Beardism. I'm insulted.
And you should be. What is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
In and out. They're different. So in game, we were talking about this before we started. I used to play PvP during vanilla. That's all I did for a good portion, probably about three quarters of vanilla. That's all I did was PvP with a guild. And we were pretty good. We were the top ally guild for PvP on our server. And there were like 3 day Alterac, 3-4 day Alterac Valley.
Yeah, man.
I loved remembering that. Like, it'll never be as good. And maybe I burned out on PvP because of that. Mm-hmm. But it's never been as good as those days in game. It's not that other things in game haven't been good, but it's just PvP during that time was just with that group of guys was just the best. And then outside of WoW, outside of the game, but WoW related was last summer getting together in Buffalo, New York for Massive LAN with a bunch of my Falcinod guildmates, Seraphis, Zia, Muckluck, and Mega, and a handful of other people. We just had a really good weekend, and it was a lot of fun. And hang, that was the first time I had hung out with guildmates in real life in, you know, at the time, almost 9 years of playing. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome. With the Warlords, we're getting a free level 90. I'm going to guess free Hunter.
I thought you paid for the level 90 and you got the X pack for free.
Well, either way. either way you slice it, you get a 90 if you have the expansion. So if it's not going to be a Hunter, which I suspect it might be just by what you said already, what would it be?
It probably won't be a Hunter because I really like leveling Hunters. That's what most of my Hunters are all like mid level tunes, and I enjoy leveling them. I have a 90 Hunter and a 90 Warrior. Those are the two classes that I like the most. I was leveling a Paladin, but I was leveling him specifically alongside my wife, who was leveling a Paladin too to play. So I haven't touched him since she stopped playing, and I told her I won't. I'll leave him there until she decides she has time and desire to play again, and then I'll pick up leveling him again with her. I used to play a Shaman and a Rogue back in. I've tried Druid and DK before, but I had a Shaman and a Rogue both level 60 during Vanilla, and I actually enjoyed both of those classes, Enhancement Shaman, and at the time I think it was a Subtlety Rogue, I think I played at the time. So I might do a Rogue again. I might do a Rogue back up to level 90.
A male enhancement shaman?
I see what you did there.
Terrible. Terrible.
It's growing on me. It's growing.
In your notes here, you've listed just about every class as a potential boost. But
I did not.
Can I recommend a monk, maybe?
I tried a monk. I didn't like it.
Don't let the low level monk throw you off, because honestly, it's until seriously up until you get into like 60s, 70s before you really start getting a good toolkit, and it's real, you know, real fun. But
you know what? You know what? Here's, if I do a monk, I'll have to make sure he's not
a gnome.
I don't like pandas. I don't like Pandaren.
I know a lot of people don't. That's fair. But yeah. That's fine. I'll give you that. I'm partial to the lady pandas, but I get it. It's just I think it was new and kind of annoying to a lot of people, but I don't know. So, what have you been up to in and out of the World of Warcraft this week?
So in World of Warcraft, this past week, well, the end of last week, we downed Garrosh on Siege of Orgrimmar regular 10-man. So we finally completed flex mode. So now we've completed regular mode. Out of Warcraft, I've been playing a ton of a game called Soulstone. It's a digital card game by Stoneblade Entertainment on the iPad and the iPhone on iOS, and I've been enjoying the hell out of it. It's frustrating as hell because, like Hearthstone, sometimes you just get destroyed, and there's just nothing you can do about it. But I've been playing that. I don't know. I kind of took a break from Hearthstone. I played so much Hearthstone. My wife was starting to get kind of mad at me. She's like, "Could you stop playing for a little while?" And then also, I got a ton of graphics and design pieces that I'm doing for CGM and for Catalyst Gaming Media and for some other people. So I've been kind of busy doing that. Other than just work and having three kids and coaching three soccer teams and all that.
Yes. Never an end.
Oh, we'll cry about any of that.
Never an end of stuff to do when you're a parent as well.
Pretty much.
Rob, what have you been up to?
We did I guess it's been a couple weeks since we recorded, but we did start the normal mode rating, and I got a bunch of gear. I don't remember if we talked about this or not already.
I think we did our first raid we talked about, but not our second time in there.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like, personally, like, normal mode is a huge step up from flex rating. Like, I feel like everything hits a lot harder. It's a lot more aggressive. You know, I can feel the damage. When I'm tanking, I can feel it a lot more. I feel like I really need to, be on top of my mitigation and my cooldowns and all that. And that's fine. I don't mind. It's good. It's what I wanted. It's what we wanted. So it's been great. The funny thing is how, freaking balls out we have been with PvP lately. And so, shoot, man, I've got a warrior that's like in half prideful gear, full PvP, tons of dudes that are like, you know, at least in the 522 PvP gear. I've got a monk. I've got a hunter that's in several pieces of PvP gear. I've got a Mistweaver who, healing battlegrounds is about one of the worst things I've ever done. Yet it's still better than LFR, I guess.
I just gotta ask, PvP with your balls out, are you sure you're doing it right?
Balls out, man.
Okay,
it's the only way.
It's dangerous. It's a little
it is dangerous, but it brings certain advantages to the battlefield. So.
Oh really?
But you know, this isn't that kind of podcast, so we'll have to maybe we'll do like an after show or something. It's funny because like at this point of previous expansions, I was real like, yeah, level alts, but I don't really need to level alts, even though I am leveling alts. Still got some recruiter friend going on with a buddy of mine, so I am leveling alts, and that's fine. But yeah, it's really, my attention has turned to PvP, and it's been really frustrating, but really fun too. So we're not a PvP podcast, but we'll probably start talking about that a little more. I think there's a good place in the community for it. So I guess other than that, I am about like half a quest away from getting my legendary cloak on my shaman. So trying to finish that up here pretty soon. That'll be cool. And I guess that's about it. I'm just kind of having fun. Alts, PvP, whatever, you know. Hoping that they don't wait until December to put out the Warlords, but, you know, we'll see.
Honor before.
Honor. Honor. Honor before BlizzCon. How about you, Hen? What are you up to?
Well, yeah, you mentioned our normal rating. So the first time I went in, I was I took my Warlock, DPS, and that went well. And last week, or I guess it was a week and a half now, because we didn't raid this past Friday because I was out of town. So it was actually a week and a half ago. I took Hend in and healed the raid, and that went well too. I really enjoy that I can take either one in, you know, this tier, you know, this rating that we're doing now. And I don't mind. Like, a lot of times I've been always, you know, Hend, I'm in there, I'm healing, and that's my job. No one's taken that away from me. But this time around, I'm really enjoying the opportunity to take both either my Shaman or my Warlock on whatever role is needed. And I don't mind at all. And I think that's great. Like, I don't know why, but, you know, I'm just really enjoying that aspect of it right now. So I had a lot of fun healing that raid as well. And then, like you said, I don't know how this happened, but yeah, PvP, it's all of a sudden become fun, and I think I know why, though. I think the thing that tipped the scales was you and me going in and doing some 2v2 arenas. Mm-hmm. And winning a couple of close battles, and, you know, that just that rush from that. It's like, man, this isn't so bad. It's actually kind of fun.
And when you're choosing it, when you're saying I am going to go in and do
this, yeah,
it's a whole different thing than being ganked while you're just trying to quest or, you know.
Yeah, that's totally it. And
PvP is much better with friends.
The buddy system.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, we had some good matches, and just that adrenaline rush and the excitement of winning close ones. It's just, yeah, it's got me hooked on it now. Like, I have my full set of honor gear now on my Warlock, and I've got two prideful pieces. So, and I've noticed the difference. Like, even I did a battle crown last night, and I've noticed the difference even with just, you know, all that honor gear. Mm-hmm. I survive a lot better. I hit a lot harder in PvP, and I'm not, you know, it's not just a gank fest against me, so. So yeah, this might be something that you'll hear a little bit more of on the Training Dummies, which is usually something that was strictly reserved for Kim's segment. Now you might hear us talk about it just a little bit more.
I may or may not have seen a video of you unloading some Chaos Bolts on somebody. That was ridiculous.
That was pretty good. Actually, the one I really enjoyed was the one, I think it was our first one this week. Or last week, against the Druid and the Warrior. And I think you posted video up, too.
Mm-hmm, yep.
But the Druid was the healer, and he kept healing. And finally, they managed to take you down. But in the meantime, the Druid was out of mana, so I was able to take him down, and then the Warrior. And we won! It was amazing!
Yeah. Oh, that was crazy.
It was so awesome. I couldn't believe it.
That was a good one. Good stuff.
Yes, it was. But anyway, enough PvP. On. I think we have some hunter talk to talk about here.
Hi, this is Rotund, Windwalker Monk from Something Wicked of Whisperwind US. And you're listening to the Training Dummies with Hend and Rob.
Hend and Ron.
Yes, and the Training Dumpies, I think.
Best ever.
I know. I got that one. I didn't cut that one out to use today. But I used the good one. But I was tempted. Anyway, hunters.
Do you guys feel like at this point that going over stats, gems, and enchants, like, is that a lost cause, or is it still like relevant information there?
It's relevant until Warlords comes out.
Yeah. Well, even still, like, I think we can condense it to just give the main priority, because we don't need to go through all the gems you need, right? And all the enchants are pretty standard.
No, because I think most people understand by now, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to walk over there, that it's like Noxic and
AMR.
Icy Veins or AMR, yeah, any of those sites are going to actually give you details on gems and enchants and whatnot. So,
well, I'll give you a really, really, it's the easiest rule to remember when it comes to hunters. Agility. Period. Like, that's all you care about is agility. Like, there's nothing more important than agility. Agility counts for, like, 7 times the, you know, for 1 agility to 1 of any other stat, right, comparative. Agility is, like, 7.5 times higher than anything else or something obscene like that. I forget what all the, you know, the math geeks of WoW figured out. I know Frostheim had a huge formula about it, you know, ways back, like 6 months ago, before he kind of left playing WoW.
So then delicate gems and you're insane. Good.
Everything's about agility.
So are you ignoring socket bonuses for straight agi gems, or what's your take on that?
Personally, I don't. And the reason why I don't ignore the socket gem, the socket bonuses, is because the socket bonuses tend to be agility. So examples like the tier helm. The tier helm socket bonus is 180 agility. You know, in this case, it's really easy to get the socket bonus because
you it's, want it,
Yeah, it's a meta gem, and then the other slot is a red gem.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Exactly, makes it really easy. Then you turn around and look at something like one of the pairs of pants that are really good pair. I forget who they drop off of. Maybe Shaw Pride or somebody. But it's the leggings of unabashed anger. They have two blue slots, and then they have 120 socket bonus. I have agility hit gems in those. Why? Because I can use the extra hit there, get the 120 agility bonus, then reforge the hit somewhere else. So, I mean, it's really just kind of dependent upon the item. If it's a red slot, you don't muck around. You definitely go for the you put an agility in there. If it's an orange slot, or yellow slot, you put agility haste in. The stat weight basically goes agility first, and then hit and expertise to 7.5%, get them to cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's haste, crit, mastery is your order.
Does it matter which spec? Or is
no, it's the same
thing. Haste, crit, mastery. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. No hunter is going to have a problem. So haste is important. It used to be crit was king.
Mm-hmm.
After agility, crit became king, but haste started becoming more important because haste is everything about your focus regen is all about haste. So more haste, more focus regen, faster shots, everything's just delicious DPS, more DPS at that point.
Yes.
Right on.
Well, perfect.
But all this stuff goes away in Warlords.
Yeah.
Well, we can, I guess, we talked a little bit ahead of time, maybe maybe focused on Beast Mastery, and then we can get into the other, you know, survival or whatever a little bit if we feel like it. If we want to go through the talent system, we can do that. Do you feel like the talents are going to vary from spec to spec, or is it just fight to fight, or...
The talents probably won't vary much from spec to spec. It's really more about situation. So either what type of game you're playing. Are you soloing? Are you raiding? Are you PvPing, right?
Gotcha.
So example is if you're in PvP, you're probably going to use exhilaration at the level 45 talent. Exhilaration heals you for 30% and your pet for 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably using that. For soloing, I tend to use Spirit Bond, which is regenerate 3% of total health every 2 seconds for you and your pet while the pet's active.
Yeah.
If I'm raiding, I use Aspect of the Iron Hawk, which is it increases my attack power by 35%, like it's like Hawk, like Aspect of the Hawk does, but then it adds a reduction of 10% of damage taken, which helps healers just, you know, helps me take a little bit less damage, helps the healers out in a raid.
And it's passive.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, so you don't have to physically do anything. Exhilaration is the only one that's an actual spell to use. So, and a note on that, the only time when I'm soloing that I actually use Exhilaration is when I go into Blackwing Lair, And the reason why is if you're a hunter, you can solo Razor Gore at the beginning of Blackwing Lair by using his exhilaration to heal him for 100%. He counts as your pet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you can heal him for 100% when he gets about, when you're about halfway through, three quarters of the way through of destroying the eggs, he's just about out of life. You can pop exhilaration. He'll heal. You'll lose your control over him, but then you can just quickly, you know, click the orb and get it back and then finish it up and finish soloing it.
That's a great pro tip there.
Cool. Yeah, totally.
So yeah, so the talents are really just around really what gameplay you're doing for the most part.
Okay. Well, let's start at the level 15 ones then.
They're all kind of the same, to be quite honest.
Right.
Okay. Like, they all just suck.
Yeah, these are freaking lame.
They are lame. I use Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon because it decreases my cooldown of the turn so I can use them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Especially disengage. I like having disengage available for as much as possible. I just use it for quick movement around the room, around space.
Yeah, man, they could have... I don't know. They need to take a look at this first tier again. Man, these are... these are fail.
They are. They are fail. There's no other way to look at it right now, is there?
All right, then. Well, let's move on to 30.
Please, let's do.
Let's keep going.
Level 30.
Level 30. So you've got Binding Shot, Wyvern Sting, and Intimidation. Again, pretty dependent upon what you're doing. Intimidation commands your pets to intimidate the target and stuns it for 3 seconds. All three of these are really good in PvP, or can be good in PvP. Intimidation can especially be good for soloing.
Mm-hmm.
I have mine on either Binding Shot or Wyvern Sting for the most part all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of Wyvern Sting, and maybe it's because I loved it when it first came out. I like the idea of it. It comes in really handy. Obviously, you can't use it as a raider. I can't use it on a boss or something.
Right.
But if you've got a random mob that suddenly just goes off, you can pop Wyvern Sting and sleep something at least for, you know, at least for a few seconds. You know, it's a 30-second sleep.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you might not get the full 30 seconds because somebody invariably AoEs or tab targets and, you know, breaks it. But, you know, breaking CC in a raid is just, I don't know, that's like par for the course. But I'm a fan of Wyvern Sting and Binding Shot. Binding Shot works really well. I use that one too, you know, again, depending on what raid encounter you're working through, what bosses you're working through, what trash you're working through.
I think I went with Intimidation because it seemed... like, it was easy to weave in for PvP, but I feel like the cooldown's a little long on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, these are mostly, like, CC kind of related
things. That's exactly what they are, yeah. I mean, the other two 45-second cooldowns instead of Intimidation is 1 minute.
Yeah.
I mean... I just like Intimidate, especially if you're pet heavy, if you're doing something that's PvP or soloing where you're definitely using your pet the whole time, Intimidation works out great because you just tell your pet to attack, pop Intimidation, pop, you know, pop Kill Command. Like, you pop those right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy. Just get them off right away.
All right. Level 45.
Well, we did that already.
We kind of did it already. Spirit Bond.
Oh, right.
Spirit Bond if you're soloing. Aspect of the Iron Hawk if you're raiding. Exhilaration if you're PvPing, generally speaking.
Well, that was easy. Level 60.
This is great, man.
I know.
level 60 is tough for me. Thrill of the Hunt is... I've never taken it. Thrill of the Hunt,
but it's
garbage,
passive.
As far as I'm concerned.
Looking at it right now, I'd pick Thrill of the Hunt because it's passive.
Dude, Dire Beast, man.
Well, here's the thing. You get more from Dire Beast. You're going to get a lot more because you're getting more actual physical damage from Dire Beast than you do from the other two. But the thing with Fervor, and I switched to Dire Beast only a few weeks ago to give it a run. About 3-4 weeks ago, I switched to Dire Beast from Fervor.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss having Fervor. Fervor, you have control over. Yes, they're both another button, so it's not like that's changing.
Mm-hmm.
But with Fervor, you could use it situationally. So you're sitting there and you're like, you know, I've got a couple of different abilities that just came up, but I don't have enough focus because I just bled off a bunch of focus with Arcane Shot. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I going to do? Well, you saved fervor for that one moment. Now suddenly, bam, you got 50 extra focus sitting there, and you can pop off those two abilities that you want to use, whatever they happen to be.
But Dire Beast, and this is a stupid reason, but it will summon a beast that is specific to whatever zone you're in. So I was out somewhere, I forget which zone it was, one day, and I popped that, and this freaking nasty beaver came out and started tearing it up, man. That was insane, man. Yeah, dude, they're ridiculous, man. And then if you're out on, like, Thunder Island, sometimes you get, like, this giant dragon-looking, crazy-looking bro. Like, Dire Beast, man.
It looks cool.
Yeah. And for PvP, honestly, dude, you bust that, and, like, it's over. Like, when I see a hunter coming, it's overwhelming sometimes, because if they stampede you and Dire Beast you and, you know, and their pet, dude, it's like 12 targets on you all at once, and you're just like, oh, okay. I don't even know what to target right now. I'm just screwed. Like, but yeah, I actually had not even considered Fervor until right now, and I really, 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 really like that. I like the idea of every 30 seconds just being able to, on call, getting half your focus back. I like that a lot.
That's what it comes down to, is the fact that you control it. That's the nice thing about Fervor. Dire Beast definitely does, I think Dire Beast does more DPS if you just compare the two of them against each other, what you get from them. But Fervor, because you can control it, you just have more. I mean, it just depends on what you're in the middle of.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you recommend Throw of the Hunt for AoE? Because then those multi-shots get you can crack those off real quick.
I guess. I don't know.
Or is it six of one, half a dozen of the other? I mean, we're not min-maxing, really.
I think Thrill Hunt sucks. I think it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's fine. I mean, you just hit the nail on the head, right? If you're min-maxing and it happens to be a fight, and I'm sure that somebody like from, you know, Method or, you know, whatever, you know, top end raiding guild, not Dream Paragon, but who is it now?
Blood Legion.
Yeah. Like those, they probably all go, oh, well, this fight, Thrill of the Hunt, gives you 0.529 more DPS, and fine, whatever. Sure. Mm-hmm. I think it sucks. I just like,
yeah, it's not fun. And Dire Beast is fun.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Dire Beast just, like, and I don't have to do anything with Dire Beast, right? You just pop it, and boom, you've got this thing munched on somebody's face. Or with Fervor, if I want to do something, Fervor, I control it. I just, Thrill of the Hunt is just, I don't know. And this, and I have that too many times where I most of the times in a raid, if I pop off a multi-shot, more often than not, a stray shot goes somewhere, pulls a whole other group of mobs, mm-hmm. and everybody's screaming, what was that random arrow that went flying, right?
Yeah.
And I had no control over it because I there were like six mobs in front of me. I popped multi-shot and I just happened to be facing just the right angle, and that side mob was just at the right position where the game engine picks up, hey, I can cast a multi-shot to that one too. And mm-hmm. boom, you've got 12 more mobs come bearing down and everybody's flipping out. So I don't know. I just, multi-shot in a raid environment, especially in Siege of Orgrimmar, I kind of hold off on multi-shot, to be quite honest.
All right. That makes sense.
Beat that one. Beat that horse to death a little. Right. Thrill of the Hunt sucks. That's going to be the name of the show.
Thrill of the Suck. All right. Level 75. I know we have some fans of Murder of Crows here in the chat room. What's your It feels so expensive, and it's a 2-minute cooldown. So I don't know. Does it hit that hard to where it's better than the other two?
I switched to Blink Strikes again when I switched to Dire Beast a few weeks ago. I switched to Blink Strikes.
Mm-hmm. Soloing Blink Strikes is awesome.
My DPS went up with both of those. By switching to that, my DPS did go up. I agree. I like Murder Crows. It's fun. I just think Murder Crows look so cool. To your point about, you know, about what Direbeast does and how it functions. Right, right. I think Murderkrow is the same way. It just looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree that the 2-minute cooldown kind of sucks. It reduces to 60 when it's below 20%, but you're not going to get many Murderkrows in even at a minute cooldown. You're not going to get many in once you're below 20%.
Right.
Anyway.
And a PvP stuff dies so fast that it doesn't matter. If something's
Oh, PvP. Point, yeah. Sorry.
No, I would say stuff dies so fast it doesn't matter. You're not gonna cast that off 2, 3, 4 times, you know?
No. You're gonna do in PvP you're definitely gonna go Lynx Rush. Your pet's gonna be on top of you, your pet's gonna be with you. You could do Blink Strikes too, but your pet's gonna be with you. You can pop off Lynx Rush and send your pet up for a ton of you know, quick damage. That's the only real limitation with Lynx Rush is that your pet has to be within 10 yards of you. So it's definitely an opening move.
Yeah, gotcha.
Or it's a move where your target is on top of you as well.
I loved Blink Strikes for leveling. Because you're running around and, yeah, you know, you got to kill this or, you know, loot that. Or there's that one mob over there and boom, you hit that and your pet is just... Especially for Beastmaster, your pet's ripping into this thing and then you're kind of free to unload on it without any worries.
Now, when you're talking about Warlords, this is where the things start changing for Warlords.
Mm-hmm.
Murderkrows and Blink Strike are still the same, but this is where Lynx Rush goes away, and it becomes Stampede.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah, Stampede is right now. Stampede is a specific ability. And they're gonna change it to be a talent and dump out Lynx Rush.
Well, all right.
So I think once Warlords comes out, I think Stampede probably would be the, just off the top of my head, I think Stampede would be the winner. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see, I suppose.
Gotcha. And then our probably most well-known level 90 talents. Those are probably some of the easiest to spot who's using what. What's your take on these?
If you're raiding, Glaive Toss does more. If you're PvPing, Power Shot's definitely where you'd want to go because you want it to... You know, you don't care. I mean, if they're lined up, that's great. You really want it on the main thing you're trying to hit. I'm a fan, again, if you're talking about the graphic, Barrage just looks cool. Barrage actually kind of looks a lot like what the Legendary Cloaks proc looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that. So Barrage is really cool, and Barrage does a ton of damage if you've got a ton of mobs in front of you. So think about, remember in, did you guys ever do ICC?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the little dragonlings that were right before Syndrome Gosa?
Yes.
Tanks usually, one tank go one side, one tank go the other, and then pull the two Valkyr and the all those little dragonlings would get all pulled to the middle, and then you just all go off A-Wing. That's where Barrage would just reign supreme when you have like literally 30 mobs sitting there. And you just unload on all of them. Barrage, wonderful. If you've just got a couple of mobs, like on in Siege of Orgrimmar, if you're doing Garrosh,
uh-huh.
and he's got all the mobs in the first wave, and all the mobs are coming in, Glaive Toss works just fine. I don't know. Glaive Toss is I've not even. I did Barrage when Mop first came out when I was leveling. When I hit level 90 and we were first doing stuff, and then mm-hmm. I switched to Glaive Toss and I've never gone back.
Yeah, I don't even think for PvP. I think I've just stayed Glaive Toss. It just hits everything that's in the
zone. In,
yeah, mm-hmm. and you're good to go. But yeah, I guess Power Shot would be good for the knockback. But I, you know, coming from a strong PvE background, anytime anybody does anything with a knockback, it's annoying to me. So like I gotta rethink that, but yeah.
So that's the point in PvP. So if you've got somebody who's either trying to click on something like they're trying to click on the flag in AB, or they're a flag carrier in something like Warsong Gulch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Power Shot would work really, really well because you want to disrupt them. You want to, you know, it, and it's any enemies hit by it. So anybody who's in that line,
is gonna get
interrupted. So Power Shot in PvP, I could see it being great. It really depends upon what your role is going to be as a hunter in a PvP zone. Are you, you know, are you the one who's there to just destroy everything in your path? Well, then you're going to go whatever can give you maximum burst damage. But if you're there to harass and just annoy, which is what, like, that was my role in Vanilla. I was there to just, I was the flag killer. Or I was a flag carrier, actually. In Warsong Gulch, I was usually a flag carrier. I was there just to annoy the hell out of people. And to, you know, to harass anybody I could. Put up a dot on them, you know, frost trap them, freeze trap and slow them, whatever I could. Just to annoy and just tick people off.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, it's awesome until you have, like, you know, in the one of the main horde guilds we used to go up against, there were, like, five or six guys that used to target me first, which wasn't awesome. Because it's not like I was a plate wearer, so I could get destroyed pretty easily.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding, man. You feel like you're a healer, and they're just getting tunneled down. Well, all right, so those are our talents. Before we get into maybe some of the rotation, what is your, what's your, I mean, I assume most people know this, but what's your take on the different pet specs, the ferocity, cunning, tenacity? So there's the tank spec, and then... And then two DPS specs?
Yeah, so the theory is that Ferocity and Cunning both are going to put out the same DPS. It's normalized. And then Tenacity, obviously, is just specifically for tanking only. And that you're, as a hunter, you pick the pet that you want to either use that particular skin or you want to bring that particular buff to the raid.
Right.
So many of the classes overlap on the buffs now that, you know, very rarely does my raid group say, hey, you have to bring a wolf for crit, or you have to bring...
Spore Bat.
You know what? Actually, Spore Bat was one they asked for last week. I'm like, I don't have a Spore Bat, sorry. I'm just not teaming a Spore
go,
Bat.
Go get one.
Yeah, and if anybody doesn't know that joke, feel free to go to YouTube and look up Frostheim's channel, or the Warcraft Hunters Union channel about Spore Bat, you'll get it.
Even if you just do like Google like best hunter pet,
best hunter pet,
yeah.
Because I've been running BM, I like using Spirit Beasts, and mainly again, I want to help the healers out. Spirit Beasts give me an extra heal to myself.
Yeah.
So I run with a Spirit Beast to kind of again to help the healers out. I want to make it so that I'm. When you look at the healing meter to see, you know, who took the most or who took the least amount of heals, I want to be at the bottom of that list where I took the least amount of heals. As far as I'm concerned, then I did my job as a hunter. I did everything I could to reduce damage and mitigate it.
This concept is new to me.
Well, it's ironic. If you looked at Twitter today, I'm going back and forth with Seraphis and Matt.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you die a lot. Well, I die a lot because you guys don't hold aggro. When the boss suddenly bears down on me and one-shots me, feign death wasn't going to help. I cannot click it that fast. And then they go, well, why don't you misdirect to us? Yeah, I don't think you understand what misdirect does. You realize misdirect does not send the aggro to you permanently. I get all that aggro back. I know a lot of people don't understand that about misdirection. Misdirection sends the aggro for a time, but then after a time, that physical amount of aggro comes right back to the hunter.
I know that's changing in Warlords, but I think
I
think misdirection is a lost art. I think in PvE, people don't even don't have it on their bars or don't even use it anymore.
Well, it's funny because I, again, old school vanilla hunter, I did all the pulling. Like all through Molten Core and Blackwing Lair and you know, even up to Nex and even in BC, we, you know, myself, Gentara, Zylina, the three of us were the three hunters in the guild we ran with, and we did all the pulling. And I always tell, look, my other 90's a warrior, it's a prot warrior, and you know, I always when I have a hunter in the group, I'm like, do you know how to pull? And they say no, and they say okay, never mind, I'll do it. But if they say yeah, no, of course I know how to pull, but do it, I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. As a tank, all you can do is stand there. Stand there and let the hunter bring them to you. It's like, how much easier does it get?
Yeah, that's a lost art for sure.
So to answer the original, I mean, we're kind of straight off topic, but the you know, if you need damage, just go, I have all my pets are either ferocity or tenacity. And I tend to run, as a BM hunter, I tend to run with spirit pets. Skull is usually the one that I have out, but I just tamed Loch Nahawk today.
Oh, yeah, man. Congrats on that.
Thanks. I've been trying to get him for, 4 years now, and finally was able to get him. So I'll probably run with him for a little while. But beyond that, I tend to run with either a Dragonhawk, which gives the 8% spell damage. And I run with a Dragonhawk when I switch to survival, because most of the survival damage is all considered spell damage or elemental damage. Mm-hmm. And if I'm on if I'm running BM, I'll run with just a regular wolf. And the wolf I use is one from Hellfire Ramparts, which has all the armor on it. It's like a horde.
Mount. That's cool. Yeah.
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 And I do that just for the 5% crit, because crit's always
one. Yeah, I've had a wolf since forever, and I guess he's just my favorite. He's my bud. What's your favorite pet then? I mean, you just tamed the white whale, obviously, but what's been your favorite, and what's his name?
Well, honestly, my favorite pet is a golden cat, and any old school hunters will know him. His name is Broken Tooth, or he was Broken Tooth. In my stable, his name is Harley. But Broken Tooth, for people who don't know why he's a big deal, way back when in vanilla, pets had different attack speeds. Mm-hmm. And Broken Tooth was the only one in the game that had a 1 second attack speed. So he hit every second. He would claw, bite, whatever it was. And for PvP, he was just, there was no pet that was better than him. Because no matter what you were going up against, he was interrupting them.
Oh, man.
Every 1 second, he was interrupting them. So basically all you could do is instant cast against him without him interrupting you.
That's ridiculous.
It was phenomenal, which is also why Broken Tooth doesn't exist
anymore. I think got rid of that. That sounds very familiar.
It's probably all changed now, huh?
Yeah, but I think I got that same cat, like for my 39 Hunter. It sounds very familiar.
He was in
Badlands
at the time. Yes, he was in Badlands, like just below Angor Fortress was where he hung out.
Yeah, I totally got that cat for my Twig Hunter for PvP.
Oh my gosh, look at you.
Well, no, because it was. Well, it was the pet you wanted. That's what you wanted for PvP.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, like, my stables, all my pages. I've got 9 cats. I've got 2 turtles, partridge in a pear tree. I've got 4 bulls.
Yeah.
I've got 2 devil sores. I've got 2 different core hounds. I got 6 spiders. And the reason why I have so many spiders is I have all the rare spiders from
Kata.
I can't remember all their names.
Yeah, but I was going to ask you when the Firelands, Dailies, whatever the heck that area is, can't remember, but when those opened up and they were like, it was all about the hunter pets there for a while.
Yeah. And I remember I got the green one, Krillix, I think, or something like that is the name.
Skrillex,
yeah, I got him first, and then I got the yellow one second. I forget that one's name, and then I got, and then I rounded it out with the red one. I got after that, and then I finally got that jade cat that's there. He's the crystal cat. I had gotten him, but yeah, I have one of pretty much every pet except for spore bat. So I can't bring each buff except for the spore bat buff because I'm not tame spore bat.
All right, man. So easy to derail. but it's good stuff.
Sorry.
Let's. How about glyphs? What do you? What do you? Are those going to be? I mean, I've got the one glyph to rule them all, and I'll bring that up here in a minute. But what's your take on glyphs?
Obviously, the minor ones are all, you know, pick whatever you want. I think tame beast is a really good one, just because it makes it, you know, it's a little bit faster to tame something. I also personally like Glyph of Stampede, and the reason why is because
yes.
It used to summon, or actually, Glyph of Stampede used to be bad because it would summon from your stable, and some of them would still have their
growl turned on.
Yep. We had a particular hunter that this situation came up every single time she ran with us.
And she did not understand.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Rob.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Well, you see people, they'd say, why is your pet on growl? I'm like, it's not on growl. What are you talking about?
Yep. Well, then Stampede would ended up just mimicking your one pet that you have out rather than pulling random pets from your stable, in which case you can control growl being turned off on all of your tunes, all your pets. But. So Stampede,
that one, and then again the other ones, the major ones, those are really situational to what's going on. You know, like, you know, when I'm in soloing, I go Glyph of Mending, which, you know, your pet now heals every 1 second, heals for an additional 25%. You know, Glyph of Misdirection, again, if I'm soloing. Mm-hmm. I keep Glyph of Animal Bond on at all times, but that's raiding or soloing, either way I put that on. If it's raid only, I go to Glyph of Deterrence and disengage those two usually.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember now, is there one where it's like, the frost one, where when you put down a frost trap, you crit anything that's in the frost, or am I making that up? I thought that was
no. So explosive trap makes people gives a knockback. Freezing trap will reduce the movement speed for additional 7% over a handful of seconds, and then ice trap increases the radius. The glyph for that one.
Okay.
Those are all useful in PvP game. Explosive trap to knock people back. That's a wonderful thing. If you're PvPing, I would put that on.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Liberation's a nice one too, because it heals you when you disengage. You heal for 5% of your total health, so you can just get a quick 5% heal on yourself, which is nice.
You're still forgetting the must-have, most important glyph of all ever,
which is
Glyph of Fetch.
That is good when you're leveling.
That's the best glyph ever, man. When you're out doing stuff, go loot that thing way over there for me, and I'll just sit right here. It's cool. I don't know. I love that glyph.
I don't disagree.
All right, good stuff. All right, how about rotation? We'll start off with a single target, and then maybe AOE, and then this will be for Beast Mastery then.
Kill shot, kill shot, kill shot, kill shot, kill shot. Kill shot is always king. It's your most damage.
Anytime it's up.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, a lot of times they'll tell you to put Hunter's Mark on. I don't bother, because your certain abilities are going to, depending on what spec you're in, certain shots are going to put Hunter's Mark on the target.
Yes.
So I put Hunter's Mark on when we're going up against, say, a boss before the pull, I'll put it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I launch my pet, cast kill command. I cast, again, my pet's running towards the target, so I'm casting all of the other pet abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for Beast Mastery, I'm turning on Bestial Wrath, and I'm popping Dire Beast and Stampede and getting those all off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first thing I'm doing is popping Serpent Stain to get that up, and then it's the additional shot, so... Okay, then I turn around and drop a glaive toss or, you know, a couple of arcane shots, and then start in on cobra shots. One of the things that I've always done for probably about a good 5-6 years now is I put my primary shot, I use a Razor Naga, and I put my primary shot on the wheel, the mouse wheel.
Okay.
So cobra shot is bound to forward and back.
Oh, okay.
So I just roll my finger back and forth to run through my Cobra shots. And then all my other shots are on the 12 button thumb buttons on my Naga. So for me, my two main shots, for me, it's all about Cobra shot, arcane shot, Cobra shot, arcane shot. And then popping all the other ones in as they come up. It's, as I always point out, like playing a hunter to me is about whack-a-mole, right? It's what shot came up.
Right.
What one has the right proc at the right time. You know, certain shots I want to use at certain times. Like, definitely kill shot. As soon as it pops up, I'm popping off the two kill shots that I'm going to get off.
Mm-hmm. Right. How about for AoE then?
Well, for Beast Mastery, it's pretty simple. It's fire off as many multi shots as you can. You're only gonna usually get one, maybe two off.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna run out of focus. You'll be able to get a glaive toss off at that point. So you know with your 120 focus, you're gonna get two multi shots and a glaive toss roughly. And then it's what I'll do usually then is throw a trap down. It kind of depends. Are you going into a pull right where you're going to be doing AoE, at which point I'll throw traps down ahead of the just as the tanks are charging in. I throw a couple traps down just to get a little extra AoE damage from them. If it's not that type of situation, then I'll usually not even worry about the traps unless I have that spare moment to do so.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, in a dungeon environment, when it's go, 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 you see so many traps just over there and nothing's even near it because you're pulling too quickly. But
well, and not so much the pulling quickly, but even the, yes, because you might have moved past, but then that also happens in a raid encounter where the boss just moves, right?
Mm.
You move the boss around, now you can't turn around, and you know your trap is over on the left side, they're over on the right side, and you're like, why the hell did I just waste that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's not worth the focus at that point.
Pretty much.
Sidebar just popped into my head. Dude, do you not absolutely love that they put your trap launcher is just permanently on now? Or you can turn it on?
I do love that.
That was like... that was such a huge quality of life improvement.
I remember the macro like nightmare trying to get that thing to function using macros.
Yeah.
That just wasn't fun.
Let's backtrack just a tiny bit then here. Let's do single target AoE for survival.
Well, doesn't change too much, right? You know, again, you're looking at you're looking at kill shot as being the biggest priority.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about kill shot. Get a hunter's mark up if you have the time, ahead of time. Otherwise, explosive shot is going to put, I believe it's explosive shot will put it up for you. That's the biggest difference is that with Beast Mastery, you don't have that signature shot. Whereas with, survival, you have it in explosive shot. The other thing you also have is you're going to put up a secondary dot, which is black arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much the game when it comes to Beast Mastery. The game is whack-a-mole to get your most powerful shots out at the right time. And a lot of the most powerful shots or powerful spells are actually pet abilities, right? It's Beast Your Wrath, it's Stampede, it's, you know, things like that.
I kind of look at Kill Command as the as the explosive shot for Beast Mastery.
It is, and ironically enough, it's in the same exact key spot. When I'm in BM mode, it's the number three on my Naga.
Yeah.
When I'm a survival, number three is explosive shot.
Yeah, so yes, I don't know. My head like puts them as like that's the equivalent for that spec to that spec. So yeah, like they're in the same spot on my buttons too.
Absolutely. So the thing is though, you have the added part of, you know, when lock and load procs, you want to dump those explosive shots. You want to get them in. You want to get them in as many as possible. And I remember the days when you had to count and time because you wanted explosive shot to bleed off its DOT. Because if you pop
a second fast,
Yeah, it would erase and you wouldn't get the full tick out of it.
Yeah, and you want, was it like 3 or 4 seconds?
It's 3 seconds. So you had to like, you had to pop it and you just sit there and you're like, you'd basically, when it would proc, you would pop explosive shot, pop arcane shot, pop explosive shot, pop arcane shot, pop explosive shot, right? And you had to basically, it was all about a rhythm. Some of that's gone away because now when you pop, even if you pop the 3 explosive shots right on top of each other, you'll get the full damage effect from all 3 of them.
Awesome. Yeah, it just stacks up, right?
Yeah. Perfect. So, I mean, the biggest difference between the, for me anyway, you know, maybe a, you know, again, maybe some top-end badass hunters say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. But for me, the biggest difference between the two specs is with BM, and this is totally self-explanatory, with Beast Mastery, you're putting more focus into spells that your pet is going to do more damage. Mm-hmm. When you're in Survival, you're putting your focus into the dots that you put up and that elemental damage from Explosive Shot, Black Arrow, and then using Multi-Shot to dot multiple targets. Because with Survival, Multi-Shot puts Serpent Sting up on everything.
Oh, I love it, love it, yeah, love it.
That's the best thing. To me, that's why when you look and see that Survival right now is the number one DPS spec, I think it's got to be because of that. It's got to be because of that AoE ability.
Well, I know they buffed Kill Command, right, to where it has that cleave to it now.
Yep, the cleave on it.
But I still think that the multi-dotting with Survival just off of multi-shot is just phenomenal.
Well, all those dots, Mastery affects it. The Fire Breath from like a Dragonhawk, which is 8% spell damage, affects it. If mobs have spell damage reduction, that is to say their spell damage reduction abilities are reduced because of a debuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, pretty much anything that Survival does, with the exception of Auto Shot, is elemental damage. It's classified as elemental damage. I can't think of anything. Multi-shot,
snake kill trap. Shot.
Snake Trap that increases my elemental damage. You know, it does.
Wow.
It's multi-shot, kill shot, and Auto Shot are the 3 shots that are all, to my knowledge, are all not affected by Survival's Mastery buff. I always wondered if with Survival, if you just did nothing but stack Mastery, would you you wouldn't hit as fast and stuff, but would your shots just
hit so hard?
Yeah, and yeah. I tried it a couple times, it just never quite worked out right. But
Well, the thing I noticed with playing a hunter in general, is back to what you were saying about the stat priority though, is managing focus, and you have to have that focus to dump. And if you don't have the haste, then it slows way down. So you would need your dots to hit like a truck for that to make up for slowing down, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Hand, you gotta chill out, man.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You're being crazy.
Yeah. Huh? No, I don't.
You're like all over this.
You're all over.
You're like in the background, pom poms going, hunters.
I had.
Are you playing Hearthstone?
You know the answer to that. I contributed with Broken Tooth because I had that pet. So there.
Well, that was Hunter Cred right there. That was
like exactly.
Yeah. I can't.
And its name was Galore.
Dude, that's awesome. how about cooldowns? What I know we've kind of gotten into the rotation of pretty much everything. What would you say? I know there's a couple of 2-3 cool minutes or 2-3 minute cooldowns. What would you say for that?
We got rapid fire, forever, murder crows, and stampede are all ones that are on cooldown.
That's changed a lot in the past, a couple of patches, right?
Yeah. Depending on what one you're trying to hit. The one that I'm trying to get used to now is when to use Focus Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be that you would just, as soon as Focus Fire started getting ticks, you would you might pop off on.
Yeah.
And obviously you get the biggest bonuses when it's stacked all the way up, which is I think it's 5. Your pet's frenzy stack, you get 5 of it, and then mm-hmm. that's when it's maximized.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the problem is when focus fire comes up, when it's maximized on its cooldown, and the number stacks of frenzy, if bestial wrath is also available when you're playing beast mastery,
mm-hmm.
it gets tricky. And the reason why is that the frenzy stack is more beneficial to your DPS with bestial wrath. So your pet using those frenzy stacks during bestial wrath.
Yeah.
Than it is for you to absorb them for focus fire. So it's like it's a tricky game. As soon as you see that little thing light up, as soon as you see that button light up, you don't necessarily want to smash it, right?
So it's better to stack it with the bestial wrath than it is to keep it on cooldown.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, no, it's better to use it off of, so when bestial wrath is on cooldown,
mm-hmm.
and focus fire gets the pet has the full stacks of frenzy and focus fire's full effect comes up, nail it. When bestial wrath is up, if focus fire comes up if your pet gets the stacks of frenzy and focus fire comes available at the same time, ignore focus fire and go for bestial wrath and let your pet use those stacks of frenzy.
Oh, okay. So bestial wrath takes priority, but you don't want to stack them.
Correct.
Okay, makes sense.
And I'm still playing with that. Like, I used to just mash the two of them whenever they were up. But I've been playing with trying to time them properly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not, you know, maybe it's because I drink a little too much vodka when I'm raiding, but...
No.
It's just me.
If bosses are dying, then you're good to go.
That's what I always say. But those damn tanks, you know, they argue their... learn to aggro, guys. Learn to aggro.
Deter harder, bro.
Yeah, that's I get that. Why don't you pop deterrence? Oh, why don't I just stop DPS?
Yeah, okay. Seconds? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I think I was calling it derp deterrence in an arena the other day.
It is. But you know what? If it saves your bacon, use it. Actually, what I use deterrence for is I use it to bandage.
Oh, yeah. So you pop deterrence, and then you get a couple seconds to health stone or a bandage. Or
yeah, that's pretty much what I use it for. Or I use it, like, I take the glyph of deterrence, which increases the damage reduction by 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows me, when you're doing... not Siege Master, it's the one after Galifianakis the dragon there in Siege.
Oh, the, yeah, Juggernaut? The stupid
that thing.
Juggernaut,
yeah, Iron Juggernaut, right? You can take a bomb as a hunter. You can jump on a bomb, pop deterrence, jump on a bomb, and if you've got the glyph on, you'll, especially if you're at full health, you'll definitely survive it. Fall damage is another thing, but, you know, because deterrence does not help with fall damage.
Yeah, man, and that's stupid. That was another thing I noticed going from like flex to normals too, was the stupid bombs on that thing. Man, those are nasty. Like, but in flex we were like, any clothies want to pick up a bomb? All right, thanks. You know, and now it's like,
dude, nobody gets a bomb in flex.
Yeah. Now it is gnarly, man. It is just nope. Do not touch.
Nope. No.
I know, and then as a tank, I'm struggling to get all three of them before it's time for me to taunt again. You know, it's just like...
Well, so there, you got a hunter in the group, you look at the hunter and go, hey, take one. Pop the turrets and take one, right? It's more... That's the sort of thing, like, so one of the things that... This can be a total tangent, but one of the things that I've always gotten blasted for from some people that I talk to are hunters... I'm not big on, you know, where am I on the damage meter? You know, I always preach to people, look, Blizzard has always been pretty good about taking elements that third-party players and groups create add-ons for the game. They do a good job of taking those add-ons and incorporating them into the game.
Mm-hmm.
There have been DPS meters since almost day one, and Blizzard has never put DPS meters into the game. Why?
Because it's not something they want you to focus on.
It's yeah, plain and simple, right? It's these fights are not... to be ranked number one in the world, you have to have push your DPS, you got to min-max, everything's got to be perfect. But for the rest of us, which is like, you know, 94% of the player base, it's surviving a fight, surviving that one moment and living, you know, through that bomb or whatever it happens to be. That is actually more important. So if you stop DPSing for a few seconds to live through that moment and then keep DPSing the rest of the fight, that's more important than, oh, I got number one on the DPS meter, but I died halfway through the fight because I was a fool and stood in the bad and, you know, there was poo on the ground and I ran back.
With no other takeaway from this episode, seriously, that's it right there. It doesn't it doesn't matter if you're where you're at on the DPS meters. If your team is struggling and you're not doing those small things to help, you know, to help make a difference, then yep. Perfect, man. That's a well said right there.
Thanks.
How about some maybe advanced tips and tricks, anything to just really push it to the next level? Kind of like you're just saying, you know, it's not necessarily about top deeps.
Yeah, I mean, so learn to time your cooldowns, right? You know, make sure you're stacking things at the appropriate time. You know, I'm big on if I see rapid fire, if I know in the fight, I know we're getting ready to a time when time warp is going to be used, time warp bloodlust is going to get used. And I've got, you know, rapid fire is just coming up and ready. I don't necessarily pop rapid fire right away. I wait for that few seconds when we're, you know, going to hit just below 20%. I know that time warp is going to go off or heroism, and I can stack heroism. I can stack rapid fire. I can stack a pot. You know, a whatchamacallit pot.
Good little Colorado.
The vermin's flight. and then also have a couple kill shots go off, you know, pretty rapidly at like max damage, and then just go off with the amount of haste that I'm going to have stacked. So timing those things, just again, you got to hold off for a few seconds. You feel like, oh, my DPS is going to suffer. Yeah, but you're going to get such a boost on the other side if you wait those 3 seconds. It's going to offset it. You're going to get more DPS gain out of it. Definitely surviving and standing, you know, staying out of poo. Use deterrence and disengage to your advantage. That's what they're there for. Another thing that I find is interesting, I wish the old Rokdalar quest line was still in the game. Not necessarily at level 60, but a level 90 version of it, because the skills you learn do that, to get that thing, that thing is, that those fights were amazing to teach you how to properly jump and turn and shoot, how to shoot on the run, how to continue to turn around and DPS while you're still moving. A lot of hunters still don't, you know, they still want the patchwork fight where they're standing still, not moving, and just going off on something like it's a training dummy, right?
Hey.
So
I think that's what some of those the pet quests in Kata were a throwback to that, you know. Hey, yeah, you can't do this unless you can, you know, deter and do that, you know, like, you know, it was all timing and using different skills. I think they were trying to kind of throw back to that a little bit.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I loved doing those taming challenges. I can't remember how many times I died trying to do Death Talak or Skrillex or any of those. So, like, I died multiple times trying to tame those things. But it was fun. And I just think that like, especially especially if for any listeners, if you're doing PvP, oh my God, jump, turn, shot is like,
yeah.
Yeah, if you can't do that with a mouse and a keyboard, if you can't figure out how to run and jump and just spin around and, you know, continue to fire, and I guess it's the other pro tip. Get a Razor Naga, man, because that makes everything so much easier, having a Razor Naga.
Awesome. Let's see. Where are we at? Do you want to... Han, do you have any questions? Did you want to talk about this last thing here? Or?
Well, yeah. I don't have any other specific questions other than... you've already mentioned a couple of the changes that are coming with Warlords, but what are your thoughts on the changes based on the information we've been given so far in Alpha Notes and anything else that they've released regarding Hunters?
Too soon, executives. Who freaking knows what's gonna? I'm happy and dismayed that hit and expertise are being removed entirely, because I've spent so long. Like, I'm a hunter; I have to be hit capped.
Exactly.
What do you mean I'm not hit capped? Yeah. I mean, that was a big deal. And ask Mr. Robot when you go there and it reforges and it's like slightly under hit, slightly under expertise. The hunter community is like, wait, what? No.
Yeah.
I could. Nope.
Yeah. Nope. Nope. No. No, nope.
I understood the argument, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you can't. It's just, no.
I use the checkbox that forces cap. There's a checkbox there that forces cap.
Yep.
Well, use it.
He did that because, he went on the Hunting Party podcast, and Hunter's just like ripped into him, like, "No, we have to be hit capped." And he's like, "You know, we're gonna put a feature in that allows you to force that." He's right. He's right from a mathematical standpoint. He's right.
Yes, I know.
You know,
but still. 0.1%
shouldn't matter. But yeah, we just it's been trained. So hitting and expertise going away kind of like screws with my mind. I don't know. I don't know. It's so stinking early for anything.
Yeah,
and things are going to change. I don't know. There's little things like scattershot's going to go away. You know, don't take scattershot away.
Oh, I love scattershot, man.
It's just fun. I don't know. Like, yeah. Somebody asked me the other day in my guild, they were like, "Oh, you're going to be able to tame Hydras. Aren't you happy?" I'm like, really? You know, I got like 45 pets now, whatever the heck the number is. Do I need a Hydra? Sure. Yeah, it's cool. It's awesome. I'm going to get a Hydra. Yay. I don't know. When I can tame a feral druid, then I'll be happy. that's what I want. Like, right there, that's what I want.
Awesome.
I want a glyph. I want a glyph that allows me to tame a druid in bear cat form, right? That allows me to tame a druid in that form out of combat. So make it a minor glyph and make it that you have to be out of combat. Right? So it's not like a PvP thing. Honestly, scare beast. Actually, there's a pro tip if people don't know it. I mean, when you're in PvP and you see something in animal form kind of at you, target scare beast. Like if it's a druid in cat form, they're gonna go running in terror, right?
Yeah.
And fearing people is the most annoying thing to do to them in PvP. But I'd like to be able to tame one, not in combat, not in a battleground, but just like you're walking around, like maybe you're sitting there waiting to do a pull, and your bear tank's kind of goofing around. You suddenly tame him. And it only lasts like 15 seconds or something.
Yeah, combat would break it or whatever, but.
Yeah, like they're awesome. Sitting there, and suddenly, like, you're making them dance, and like, I didn't do anything on my keyboard. That would be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, let me tame Dragonkin. Like that to me, like that's the type of stuff that if that came around, I'd be very happy.
Yes, totally.
I don't know. Everything else is all kind of like, we can wait till we get closer to it before I can, you know, when we get closer to it, then I can turn around and say what I love, what I don't love. And you know what? I guess the other thing is the whole lone wolf, like the notion of being a hunter where I forego my pet. And instead of being a hunter, you're really more of a ranger.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know, man.
If I'm Beast Mastery, I want my pet. Like, that's a given. I want pet there. But if I'm in survival, if I'm playing survival, I don't mind the notion of lone wolf. I like the notion of lone wolf. I like the idea of because to me, survival always felt like you should be a ranger. You're an elemental ranger. It's kind of like you're a mage hunter is really what you are, or a rogue hunter. You're putting all these poisons on your arrows and spell abilities that you're doing. It's more magical. It's, I don't know.
I could see that. I could get on board with that.
Yeah, so to me, lone wolf, I think, is a good idea. I like the idea of it. But, you know, that's it. It's still too early. Yeah. Look, we're gonna know in June. The beta is probably gonna launch around June timeframe, I'm willing to bet. And then we're gonna see Warlords itself drop like September timeframe. It's gonna drop before BlizzCon. So,
I hope so. You know, there's a lot of speculation on that, but Rignaros posted on Twitter the other day. He said there's still no reason not to think that the final product won't be out before BlizzCon, and you know, world progression rating can be over in October, and then BlizzCon, and everyone's happy. I don't know, man. I think it would be shooting themselves in the foot to push everything off until December.
I don't think they will, just because one of the big things they have at BlizzCon is the top, the top guilds doing.
The raid challenge. Yeah,
yeah, you're gonna want that with current content. You're not gonna want that where you're telling them to, oh, let's
let's Siege of Orgrimmar, that's been out for 2 years.
Yeah, a second time. Yeah. They did Siege the last one, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. They don't want to do two BlizzCons with the same raid content. That's just bad news.
Nope. There's no way. It's going to be out before then.
It's got to be. All right. Well, are we done with Hunters then? Or is this good? Are we happy with what we learned today?
Are you inspired at all?
I've been doodling for a while. Yes.
Whoa! Hey, not that kind of podcast.
I know. Come on, please. You can balls out PvP, but
you can't doodle.
Yes, exactly. Well then, if that's it for Hunters, we do have something for PvP, and here it is. Awesome segue.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Crowd Control PvP segment. There was some new info released this week for Warlords of Draenor PvP, so we're going to be going over that, so let's get started. So yesterday we saw a post from Lore on the official WoW website, and it was all to do with Warlords of Draenor PvP. And it was quite comprehensive, it was quite a big post. He starts off with a section called I've Got the Power, and he talks about PvP power originally being introduced in Mists of Pandaria to balance the difference between PvP and PvE gear. And it worked. It worked great pretty much everywhere but the open world, where towards the end of the expansion, the people who had full raid gear were having the advantage in world PvP. So it didn't work there towards the end, but up until that point it was okay. Now he goes on to talk about the PvP stats, the difference it's going to be. It's basically, it's not a stat anymore, you're going to have a separate eye level. So if you're out in the open world and you start PvP and someone attacks you, then this eye level kicks in and scales your gear appropriately so that you're a little bit more powerful. And if you go into a battleground or arena, it does it automatically as well. So that's a pretty neat little addition, I quite like that. Alright, the next part is just fantastic. You'll know, if you've heard or read anything that I've written, that I would love to see more rewards for PvP in the form of gear and honour. And Blizzard are finally sorting this out for us. They're giving more rewards for Call to Arms Battlegrounds. You can earn either a bronze, silver, or a gold strong box, and in there you're going to get things like gear. And this is great. This is fantastic. This means that we have we don't have to chain dungeons anymore to trade justice points for honor to get that little bit more gear. Now we can actually do PvP to earn the same amount and the same rate of gear as you would if you were PvEing. Or at least that's how it appears at the moment. Whether it works out that way, we don't know. We know that there's going to be rewards for skirmishes and for arena, but they haven't told us exactly what that's going to be yet, so I'm listening closely for that. In Warlords, we're going to see a different set of tiers for PvP gear. Firstly, the gear you'll earn from the silver and gold strong boxes, it'll be similar quality to the honour gear that we have just now. And this will be called Veterans Gear. You'll also be able to buy this for honour at the vendor too. Now I want to talk a little bit about Azran. Recently we had a WoW Source episode 3, I think it was, where we saw Brian Hlinka talking about some of the things we can expect to see in Azran. It's going to be a whole island just for world PvP. And the way things are working out, you've got, you know, your horde and your alliance fortress, but behind that there's a staging area and there'll be vendors, and I think there's going to be inns and things like that too. Basically, you can treat it like a base, which it's such a small thing, but, you know, as someone that doesn't do a lot of PvE, sitting in cities, it kind of gets a little bit boring. So this is a kind of cool thing for me. I think I'll probably park most of my characters there and that'll be their base. The fortress is an NPC-manned active combat environment, so basically it's going to be ongoing there. Most of the fighting takes place on the road between the two fortresses, and everything around the edge of the island is where you find your objectives for kill quests, so you can get rewards. He also mentioned that during the beta they're going to have a dedicated PvP realm for testing PvP. It's going to be like the arena tournament realms, where you can go on, but you can make a max level character, much like you would do in the PTR, and you can go and experience the PvP world. Not a lot of the world is open, I think. It's only going to be, you know, your Azran and battlegrounds and arenas and things like that. I don't think you'll be able to explore everything, but you'll be able to test the PvP, which is good, because it means that they're going to be testing right from the start and hopefully have most of the kinks worked out before the end of the beta, before it actually goes live. So I think that's going to be really quite good, and I think Blizzard will see a lot of good results from it. That about wraps things up for this week. There's a couple of little things I want to mention before I go. As always, you can get me on Twitter at Kim Scally if you want to talk to me about any of the things that we discuss, or even if you have any questions. Also, I have a website, but that's actually changed this week. The new website is www.crowdcontrolpvp.com, and that's where all my blogs and all my articles and things like that and guides are. You can go there and check that out. And I'm pretty sure the guys have put it on the Contact Us page for thetrainingdummies.com, so you can head there too. As always, I hope you have an epic week.
All right, it's time for Hand Love. I still love that song. I really do. I get a big grin every time I hear it.
It's freaking awesome.
It is. Megan's awesome, too. So Hand Love to her, of course. I also want to send some Hand Love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies, on the Deathwing server. As well, some Hand Love to everyone over at Catalyst Gaming Media. This week, I did some arenas with Jab Cup and Day from the Hots, Dots, and Grey Plots podcast. So I definitely want to send some hen love to them, as that was a lot of fun. And of course, I have to send some hen love to Corey for agreeing to come on the show today and talk to us about hunters. So thank you, sir.
Why do I feel disturbed right now?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You shouldn't.
No, do you? You feel disturbed?
your hand love has touched me.
Not to be mistaken for hand love. A big thank you to all of our listeners, Twitter, Facebook folks, everybody. We've been in a little bit of a transition with content. We've been talking a lot about what we want to do with, the continuing the class guides with so many changes coming down the pipe. And we are for now, but I think we got some cool things coming up. So thanks to everybody for coming and hanging out and sticking with us. Everybody has been coming out when I've been streaming. I've been having a pretty good time doing that, doing a lot of battlegrounds, arenas, random stuff. So thanks to everybody who has been out for that. I know, I've seen Saber in there several times. Broom Fondle's been in there. I try to stream when I can, and it's usually in the evenings. And if you live in another country, I'm sorry for the time zones, but yeah. Good stuff. And Corey, thank you so much for coming on. I know you downplayed your what you had to offer, but you definitely know your stuff. So we really appreciate you coming on and chatting with us here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have any hand love you want to send out?
I heard what you did there. Well, how about hand love instead?
What? Hey, I'm walking here.
All I'll say is that tomorrow night, my buddy Seraphis and I are recording our 50th episode of Azeroth Pirate Radio. Somnar, wherever you are, we miss you, our original third host who had to bow out because of real life hitting him. So, but 50 episodes of recording with Seraphis is another round of applause for that.
For sure.
For yourself? Or?
Yes. Well, that's for me.
That's fair. All right. Well, then, before we wrap up this episode, Q, why don't you let everyone know where they can reach you, follow, like you, or how they can send hen love to you?
You didn't screw that up.
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
You can find me on Twitter at Corey Wow. You can find my blog at corey.wordpress.com. You can find me on Azeroth Pirate Radio at Azeroth Pirate Radio on Twitter and azerothpirateradio.com. You can find that on Stitcher and iTunes. Download it there. Seraphis and I talk weekly about, or we try to do weekly. We talk about all our foolishness, to be quite honest. It really is a lot of drivel, but people tell us that it's entertaining to listen to the two of us banter back and forth, so tune in just for that, I guess.
I believe that wraps up episode... Is this 66, man?
It is.
It's crazy. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or I guess our website, so please consider going to one of those locations and leaving a comment or a review or good or bad or otherwise, whatever that may be, some hand love. You can follow our Twitter, and we'll make sure to keep you informed on all of the things, Training Dummies. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland. Hind is at Hind _. What are these? And Kim with a Y is at Kim Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!